It's Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Thank you for joining us on the program. Let's kick today's show off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I love that prayer. That's a big favorite here at the station at Holy Spirit Radio. So how are you today? Having a good day so far? I'm having a fantastic day. I am coming to you direct from Westfield, Massachusetts. I already had my breakfast, so I'm in good shape. I spoke last night at Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament Parish here in Westfield. What a great time. I kicked off the Lenten speaker series. They're doing a several week series during Lent. I kicked it off last night. I talked about my favorite topic, moving from fear to faith. We had a great crowd. I got to meet some great people. And now, speaking of great people, back in the studio, my buddy Frank Eliason. Hey, brother.
Hey, brother. How are you today?
I'm doing good, my man. I understand we are Parker-less today.
Yes, Mr. Parker is going to be reading at St. Francis Cabrini, something he loves to do. So
he does.
You get stuck with me. So sorry about
that.
Oh,
that's fine. That's fine, buddy. Just the two of us. Frank, we have a great show today. We're going to be joined a little later on by Marge Fenelon. Now, check this out, Frank. She's going to be talking about giving something up for Lent. You know what it is?
Nope.
Frowning.
Ah, very nice.
She's giving up frowning for Lent. How about that for spreading our faith? Smiling sometimes.
That is beautiful.
But it's so basic, Frank, but yet it's so important. And then later on, we're going to be joined by my friend Jim Littleton, who wrote a book called Healed Through Cancer and Other Adversities. Can you imagine that, being healed through cancer?
We're all product of everything we've gone through. And, you know, I think
that's right. It's
how you look at these things. And, you know, if you do look at it from a faith perspective and understand that, you know, God has a plan for you, and you put that in faith, I think that's great. And I think we need to hear that.
It's a great story. And wait till you hear the gospel today, Frank, because it really ties in nicely. But I got a story for you, my friend. And also, I have a bit of a complaint. You know,
uh-oh,
you went out and you got these, and I'm sorry to talk about this on the air, but I don't get a lot of chance to speak with you, so I figure everybody listening, they'll understand this. Frank, you went out and you got these great headphones. I love them. They're fantastic. They do a good job when we do the remote broadcasts. They have microphones attached, but there's a problem. You want to know what the problem is?
What's that?
I'm having trouble drinking my coffee with the microphone. So I'm trying to drink it.
I didn't even think about that, but I could see that being a problem.
So do me a favor. Can you try to find a solution for this? Because the cup keeps hitting the microphone.
No coffee for
Leave
you.
Leave it to me, right? Leave it to me. Okay, Frank, got a story for you. I have to share this. You're familiar with the New York City area. You go up to New York a lot on business. You used to work there, right?
That is correct. I'll be up there this weekend. So,
okay. I'm not a fan. So when I have to come up to places, such as when I went to Boston or when I'm coming up to Westfield, my objective is to make it through the New York City area in one piece, because driving up the turnpike past that area, I just don't like it. So I devised a plan yesterday. I ran into troubles before, and I think I shared this with you in the past. I let my GPS take me home when I was coming home from Boston last year, and it brought me over the George Washington Bridge. I don't like that. There's 17 lanes, and even with the GPS, you can't get into the right lane. So, Frank, I had a plan. I'm going to get around taking the GWB. So I put in my GPS. I used Google Maps. I put the Tappan Zee Bridge right in there. I said, all right, that's the bridge I want to go over. Sounds like a plan, right?
Yeah, seems to make sense.
Okay. I'm driving yesterday up the turnpike, and I keep seeing signs for the George Washington Bridge. Following the GPS, we're going to the Tappan Zee Bridge. And as you get up to New York, you know this, Frank, and our listeners probably know this as well. There's going to be signs for the Lincoln Tunnel, for the different bridges. It doesn't mean you're going over the bridge. It just means you're headed in that direction. So I assumed, no problem. We're not going over the George Washington Bridge. Guess what? It took me
right over the George
right over the George Washington Bridge to get to the Tappan Zee Bridge. I couldn't believe it. The $15 toll, which I was trying to avoid, the craziness. But then I realized Google Maps doesn't know that my destination was a bridge, so why not take me over a bridge to get there? So I called Eileen and I said, guess what happened? And she said, you just can't avoid it. But I came up with another plan. And it's funny, I talked to some of the people here in Westfield at the talk last night, and they've tried to do the same thing. And in fact, one woman came up and said, you're not going to believe it. I looked for the location, the address of the Tappan Zee Bridge, and I put it in there, and the same thing happened to me. So I'm not the only one. But they gave me a route to go home that is basically bridgeless. So we're going to see how this works out. See
Very
if I can avoid that traffic. Yeah, so that's my story.
Yeah, you know, those bridges, you know, when you look at the traffic up in New York, and I've worked up there for a number of years, a number of things can happen. It's kind of like in Philadelphia. If you know, for those that drive the Schuylkill Expressway, very similar, where you can get stuck on there for quite an extended period of time.
Yeah.
One of the things is, great time to pray. And, you know, great time to be in your faith. So, you know, I've been stuck at the Lincoln Tunnel for 3 hours on multiple occasions. And so it's one of those things that you can always, it's finding ways that you can work with these things and take away a little bit of that frustration or anxiety that comes. I don't have patience in driving. I want to get to where I want to go and I want everything else out of my way. But it's out of your control, and it's kind of like life is, right? There's things that are just out of your control. Find ways to, how can you be relaxed about it and, you know, make it, get value out of it. And one of the valuable things is, you know, I love being in the car. I love driving places because it's a chance to be usually by myself, you know, in my own thoughts and, you know, gather it. So when I do have those unexpected moments, I try and find solutions to them.
That's a really good point. That's a good idea. The only trouble is, Frank, sometimes, and especially in that New York area, going over the George Washington Bridge, I'm usually so stressed out because people are coming at me from every direction.
they do literally go every direction over there.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't. Even with the GPS, I remember, it's like, I've never seen so many lanes in my life. Take the third lane and, the, you know, from the, there's like 18 lanes there. It's unbelievable.
And the other problem is when you get to that other side of that bridge, there's a number of exits, like, right away.
Yes.
And inevitably, you know, you're in the left lane, and inevitably, as soon as you pass one, in 50 feet, you need to get off over here on the right. What are you calling me about?
And that works really well in the New York City area, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're used to that. I'm not. Hey, Frank, check this out. I just got a text from Dave Parker talking about the coffee and the microphones. He said, Frank, order some straws, please.
Solutions. So,
leave it to Mr. Parker. Hey, that's pretty funny. Even though he's not on with us today, he is listening. Dave, we miss you, brother.
He is always solutions oriented.
He
it's
is.
Be a straw. I think a straw is the answer.
Oh, man. And by the way, Frank, while you were talking, I was able to find a way to drink some coffee, so we're good. Don't worry about it.
I think the mic does flip up on one side.
It does. It does. Hey, let's do the gospel. Frank, this ties in so perfectly to what you were saying earlier today. This is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Jesus said to his disciples, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. How about that, Frank? Our Father really knows what we need, even though we sometimes don't know what we need.
Again, it's putting our faith in there. It's you know, really understanding that. But that's the beauty of the gospel. It really starts mm-hmm. to educate you on your life and really starting to think about that. You know, it's easy to get caught up on so many other things, but just read the gospel and, you know, or read your book and get a verse every single day, you know, to get inspired in different ways. So, no, it always hits home.
And that's a great message, and I was talking to, this was a big part of the talk I gave last night to the people, and Frank, this is the secret to peace. When you learn to accept whatever happens to you, why? Because God loves you, and we can never forget that. We need to think about that all the time. He loves you, and if he loves you, he's not going to do something or allow something to happen in your life that can't benefit you in some way. That's hard to see. I just got a text this morning from a good friend whose son was just diagnosed with lymphoma. Very scary thing. And she said, could you please pray? It's hard when we run into these health issues, when we run into financial problems, when we run into difficulties in relationships or whatever. We have these problems in our lives that appear hopeless. But somehow, and this is something we're never going to be able to figure out, always, but God's got a plan. And sometimes God's plan is not the most logical plan according to our standards, but then again, he's God. He knows best. Sometimes, as Jim Littleton will share, cancer can be a great blessing,
you know,
because it brings us closer to him.
I lost my daughter to a fight with cancer, but you know what? She connected us to so many people, and, you know, Janet Napoli, and so many close people in our lives. You know, there is a plan there. Whatever it is, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I do know that there's a plan, and, you know, it's being comfortable with that.
And I know, and that's the thing, and you know Frank better than I do. You know better than I will ever know. But it doesn't mean that we don't suffer when these things happen. We do suffer.
Exactly, but, there, you know, it's putting that faith there.
We're going to be back with Marge Fenelon, and she will talk about how to give up frowning for Lent. Stay tuned. You're listening to Spirit of the Morning.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 9th. Today we celebrate Saint Francis of Rome. Although Francis's parents forced her to enter into an arranged marriage at age 13, she preferred to become a nun. She and her husband had a good marriage that produced 6 children. Francis also found happiness in her sister-in-law, a soulmate with whom she shared ideals. The two women spent much time caring for the poor, especially in hospitals. Together, they also followed a life of prayer and penance. As her family grew, Francis devoted more time to the needs of her own household. When Rome was struck by famine and a great plague in 1402, she lost a son. Despite her own grief, she reached out to help the sick, using all her money and selling her possessions. When funds ran out, she and her sister-in-law went begging door to door. Francis was ultimately given permission to found a society of women, the Oblates of Mary, who would take no vows but would offer themselves to God in the service of the poor. At the start, Frances continued to live at home, caring for her family. Following her husband's death, she entered the community. Frances of Rome died in 1440. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
What can I do to leave a legacy? How can I speak with authority when I can't see you? I can't see you. How can I know the dreams you have for me? How do I believe beyond what I have seen when I can't hear you? I can't feel you. me. Try to work outside of you, knocking down doors I shouldn't be going through, but I'm so tired.
Starts With Me by Tim Timmons. Boy, that's a great message. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. It is 50 degrees. Today it's going to be sunny with a high near 64. Tonight, rain likely after 3 a.m., possibly mixing with a little snow. After 5 a.m., we'll have a low of around 34. Friday, rain showers and snow before 2 p.m., then a slight chance of rain showers after 2 p.m., we're going to have a high near 42 degrees. I want to thank you for tuning into the program. It's such a great blessing to be with you every Monday through Friday, coming to you live from Holy Spirit Radio. As I mentioned at the start of the show, I am broadcasting remotely today. I'm in Westfield, Massachusetts, where I spoke last night. I'm going to be headed home after the show, and we'll be back in the area for tomorrow's program. Right now, we are joined by Marge Fenelon. She recently wrote an article, "A Joyful Heart is More Easily Made Perfect Than a Downcast One." And during the Lenten season, we all think of things that we could maybe do or give up in order to grow closer to the Lord. Marge came up with a really great idea. She's here to share that with us. Good morning, Marge. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. I'm great. You know, your forecast in Philly sounds very much like ours in the Milwaukee area.
Wow.
I was kind of laughing like, oh, that could be us. Good. Go ahead.
I was going to say good morning, and it's really great that you could join us. And it's funny, the forecast, this doesn't seem like typical, for you or for us, typical early March weather. It's usually a lot nastier than this.
This is true, but, you know, it's interesting. You know, I find this a great help, an accent mm-hmm. to Lent. I mean, yesterday here, at least in the Midwest, we had winds that were we had a wind over Lake Michigan that was near hurricane force. We had like 71 Whoa. Mile an hour gusts, and
wow.
in my immediate area was like in the 60s, you know, 60 some miles an hour. But I'm thinking, this is exactly what we need for our Lent. This is exactly what I wrote about, in the sense that I'm thinking, wow, you can really hear the Spirit.
Yeah,
like literally,
I can
hear him howling outside my door. But it was all day long. It was just, I kept thinking about that. And also, you know, in yeah. anticipation of being on the show today, thinking, yeah, this is what we need, a joyful heart. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, it was a parallel for me, is this, because what does the Spirit do? He can bring us great joy, even when we should be suffering, so to speak, in Lent.
And that's such a great point. And in this article, which, by the way, I love, I'm so glad you could come on the show to talk about it, you tell the story of something that happened while you were flying, while you were traveling on a plane. You and me, we both do a lot of traveling, and we get the chance to meet a lot of different individuals. So tell us a little bit about this story. Of course, this blog was written for the National Catholic Register. And tell us about the story, how what happened with you on your travels.
Well, you know, it hit me, and it still impacts me, because what happened was I always greet the person I'm going to sit next to. So I got on the plane, and I was ready to take my seat. It was just two on that, in a row, on that side of the plane. And all I said was, good morning, and I smiled to her. And she frowned at me. I mean, it was a big deal frown. It was like a scowl, and I thought, oh, my goodness. And she had a tablet, and she just looked down at her tablet, and she held that frown the entire flight and was, you know, I think it was like a two-hour flight, and never even acknowledged my presence whatsoever. Hmm. Now, I don't have a big ego. It's okay if somebody doesn't want to talk to me. I understand there are times I'm flying and I'm not especially talkative. But to just negate that there's a human being next to you, I thought, wow, I felt so sorry for her. What a miserable trip that was for that poor woman.
Yeah.
And she kind of made my trip miserable, too, because it's like, wow, well, I feel really unwanted here. There's really nowhere I can go. So I just, you know, kept myself busy. But what that started me thinking about is, you know, how do we reflect to others? You know, Lent is a somber time, no doubt about it. It's a somber time. We are to be cleansing ourselves, asking our Lord to cleanse us. We're you know, doing all of these strivings. But does our face have to show it, too? I mean, do we have to look miserable while we are making our way through Lent? And this image of the woman just frowning and, you know, bearing down on that tablet. And I thought, you know what? I think I'm like that sometimes. And I hope I don't anymore. I've been working on it, but you know, we can look like that in Lent, you know, bearing down on our Lenten strivings and you know, just really, you know, oh, I'm so miserable and everybody needs to know I'm miserable because I'm suffering for Lent. Well, no, not really. And you know, that's why the title, A Joyful Heart is More Easily Made Perfect Than a Downcast One. That's from St. Philip Neri. And I think a lot of our listeners know him as the happy saint. You know, he was always the happy saint. And he's right. He's right. If our hearts are full of joy, if our faces reflect joy, they say that if you smile, it'll change your disposition. I've read this in many different places.
Wow.
They say, you know, if you're having a rotten day, if you can bring yourself to smile, your day will change. Because what you do on the outside helps happens on the inside.
Yeah, it's amazing, Marge. It's so simple that we sometimes come up with all these other things that we should be doing during Lent. This is a basic one. And Pope Francis has talked a lot about this. He said the world doesn't need any more sourpuss Christians. Who are we going to attract if we're going around being miserable? And, of course, Jesus was really clear about this when he said, when you fast, don't let other people know you're fasting. In other words, you don't need to look miserable. You're not going to attract anybody by being miserable. And also, let's face it, so many people are carrying burdens around. You know this from doing what you do. I run into so many people who are suffering. A smile can change somebody's life.
Yes, it can. And this is, you know, Lent is, I think that I'm guilty of this. I know. I think of it as a very solitary thing. This is what I'm doing. This is what I need to change. I. But you know, it's interesting, when you think about this, we are all connected. We're all part of the body of Christ. So my Lent, Gary, is your Lent, is the Lent of every listener who is tuning in right now and who will listen to the podcast later. This is our Lent. We're in this together. So not only are we looking, hoping, praying to change as individuals, but we're also looking and hoping and praying to change as church, because you can't do one. You can't change one member of the body of Christ. We're all connected. We're all going to change as well. So don't we want to do this joyfully? Don't we want to do this not only because our Lord said, you know, don't let everybody know how miserable you are. I'm really paraphrasing. Oh, I hope he forgives me. but sometimes I take liberty and I think,
you know, I like that, Marge.
When I die, he's going to sit me down. He's going to say, excuse me about that one comment. So basically what I'm...
That's right. I'll vouch for you. Tell him to give me a call. I'll tell him you're okay.
I just see it coming. But really, you know, how else can we do this but to encourage each other? And how do you do that? It's what you show also on the outside. There's just so much focus on the interior, and rightfully so, during Lent. But our exterior needs to be welcoming and encouraging so that when we look around us at Mass, at adoration, on the street, on the plane, that we are getting a feeling of, wow, you know, I love you, you love me, we love our Lord, let's keep moving on together.
Uh-huh. And that's such a great message, because certainly our faith is personal, it's between us and the Lord, but it's not meant to stay there, and I think we have a problem with that sometimes. Also, Marge, I have to say this. I'm going to be thinking of you. I am flying on Saturday to Florida, where I'm leading a parish mission. I've got to be on my good behavior now because of what you said. But I really thank you for writing the article because, right, I mean, sometimes, look, let's face it, sometimes I don't really want to talk to that person next to me, but like you, I have really found that to be a great opportunity to evangelize. It has happened. People have started asking me questions about what I do, and before you know it, I'm giving them my book, I'm talking about Jesus. It happens.
It does. And you know, I think that's another thing, and I can be like that. I can be very, oh, please, I just don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to sit here and worry about this presentation I'm going to give in 3 hours. But it doesn't have to. I think many people think of this when we talk about evangelizing in daily life and showing our joy, living our joy. I think people are talking about needing to pull out the soapbox, get on top, and give this great big speech and be able to speak eloquently. But I disagree. I firmly disagree. Right. I think we don't. Sometimes we don't need to speak at all. Sometimes just to smile. You know, if you're not into evangelizing per se, and you know, if you're shy and don't want to talk about what you're doing or where you're going or what your faith life is like, well, show interest in the other person.
That's right. And it all starts with the smile. I mean, that's such a basic thing. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Hey, Marge, we're up against a break. We're up against a break right now. I'm sorry. Where can we follow you online?
You can follow me at my website, margefenelon.com.
Excellent. And we can have you, we can find out about having you out to speak. We can find out about your books. We can find out about your blogs. Marge Fenelon, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to be smiling. God bless you. We'll be right back. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. Jim Whittleton on the other side.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Republicans have won an initial victory in their effort to erase former President Obama's health care overhaul. They've pushed a measure through the House Ways and Means Committee that would repeal tax penalties on people who don't buy insurance. The legislation would also end income-based subsidies the government gives people to buy coverage. Instead, it creates tax credits based largely on age. Hawaii has become the first state to sue to stop President Trump's revised travel ban. Attorneys for the state filed the lawsuit yesterday in federal court in Honolulu. The state had also sued over Trump's initial travel ban, but that lawsuit was put on hold while other cases played out across the country. Hawaii's new lawsuit says the order will harm the state's Muslim population, tourism, and foreign students. And Pope Francis yesterday appointed a former vice president for Bank of America as an auxiliary bishop for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. The National Catholic Register reports that Father Roy Campbell had a 33-year career with Bank of America, beginning as a teller and working his way up to vice president before pursuing his priestly vocation in 2002. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Nancy Perry Graham, editor-in-chief of AARP Magazine, asked three friends what makes them feel happy and content. News director John Curran, recently diagnosed with a terminal illness, felt grateful for his loving wife and family, as well as his faith. He feels optimistic that his being won't end when his heart eventually stops. Diane Belli works with Asian American elders and is passionate about healthy aging. She and her husband love trying new things like dancing the Argentine tango. And Bonnie Perry says her happiest days started in her 40s. She got a master's degree, became a librarian, and found work at her grandkids' school. The lesson? Don't let age keep you from loving, learning, and growing. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
I can do is say thank you. That's Mike's chair. Love the message. So many times in life, we can say thank you. Well, actually, we forget to say thank you for the good things, that the things that please us. But how about the suffering that we encounter? It's all coming from the Lord. You know, we got to remember that He helps us, not just through pleasant, but through the adversities as well. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. My next guest knows all about what it means to go through adversity. Speaker. He's a radio host. He's a TV book called Healed Through Cancer Adversities. This book has changed my life. I was hoping that I'd be able to get to know him. I have gotten to know him. He's just a great guy, very inspirational, and he's got a great message for us today. Jim Littleton, good morning.
Hey, Gary, great to be on with you. It's been a while since we've talked.
I've wanted to get you on for a long time. In life, we're dealt with a difficult situation that we have to face. Tell your story, if you will, in the few minutes that, so that people can understand. I just got an email, Jim, this morning from a woman whose son was recently diagnosed with lymphoma, and she's beside herself. She doesn't know how to deal with it. Tell your story and how it was your leukemia was a great blessing in your life.
Yeah. And by the way, feel free to refer that individual to me. I'd be happy to advise and help and encourage them. You can refer them to my phone
thank
number
you.
Email.
Happy oh, thank you. They would love that. Thank
That's
you.
That's part of our ministry, helping people through adversity and cancer and so on. But we don't have a long time, so I can't go into too much detail. But basically, you know, I was man's man, never went to the doctor, marathon runner, black belt in the martial arts and so on. You know, thought I was invincible, but... Turned out, 2009, on the Feast of the North American Martyrs, October 19th, I was diagnosed with stage 4 leukemia, and that led to a very tough road over the years. I'm still dealing with the aftermaths of it, but God keeps me going. I'm so grateful. I've never been more productive in my life since I was diagnosed with leukemia. So I wrote my book, Healed Through Cancer.
Praise God.
While I was very sick with leukemia, fevers, and I'd get up and type a little bit and go back to my easy chair and take a nap, and I didn't know if I would survive to finish the book or see it published, but you know, God works in amazing and mysterious and marvelous ways, and I did survive, and I feel like I'm on a mission. But I was hospitalized about 6 or 7 times, life-threatening infections, complications of leukemia. And by the way, I'm a father of 14 children. And my youngest, I think, was 3 years old when I was diagnosed. So that hits you kind of hard, and you have to turn to, you know, to the Lord and trust and realize that, you know, everything, we're all indispensable in the sense that we're to fulfill God's will fulfill His work in the world, but you know, when it's our time to go, God has plans. You know, it's not everything's not dependent on me. He has ways to take care of my family, whether I'm there or not. Although that may seem, you know, mysterious, it calls for faith. Right. But anyway, I went through you know, a lot of suffering, a lot of near death experiences, and so on. Went through a bone marrow transplant and. Came out the other side, thanks be to God. And so I'm very, very compelled to share with others a message of hope. You know, during that period, and even, you know, from time to time, I've gone through a deep darkness, a tremendous darkness, as if literally I'm in the pit, in the clay pit referred to into the Psalms. And during those times, you know, you feel like God, if He exists, maybe He's abandoned me. And but this is part of life. This is part of the stuff of the spiritual life. And in fact, God has never been closer to us than when we're going through that deep darkness, because this is a process that draws us even closer to His love. And what I want to say to your listeners, because I'm not the only one who's gone through crosses. As a matter of fact, it's part of the stuff of life. That's what I've come to realize more deeply. You know, it's not some odd, strange thing that's happened to us. It's part of the stuff of life. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. So I know there's a lot of people out there listening right now. And I want to say to you individually as a listener, if you're feeling hopeless, maybe you're fearful, you're carrying a heavy cross. Your cross perhaps is a serious illness like mine. Maybe you're listening from inside prison walls. You've got a broken relationship that's tearing you apart, the loss of a loved one, financial problems, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. Crosses come in many forms. And the first thing I want to do is honor your cross. Crosses are difficult. They are painful. They're sometimes excruciating. They're overwhelming. They're crushing. And you're in good company because that's what Jesus experienced on the cross when he hung and bled there. He wasn't saying, this is fantastic. I'm having a great time up here on the cross. You know, I'm offering it all up. He went through the darkness. He went through the pain. And so we have to go through that first and we come out the other side. That's the Easter resurrection. But I want to say that I know a little bit about the cross. I've experienced it. And believe me, Jesus is with you. He knows everything about your cross. And as I said, he hung and bled on a cross, and he did it voluntarily. He chose to go to the cross. He did it for you, out of love for you as an individual. Yes, for everyone, but he's infinite. He's God. He was thinking of you as an individual person as he hung there on the cross. So he is with you. He cares deeply about your cross. You know, Jesus is still on the cross, the church teaches, in the sense that he's on the cross through his mystical body, of which each of you are a member. So he's with you on that cross because if I flip to Colossians here, if I can find it, Colossians first chapter, it makes me happy to suffer for you as I'm suffering now and in my own body to do what I can to make up all that has still to be undergone by Christ for the sake of his body, the church. So, you know, you are, Christ is hanging on the cross right now. Jesus is in you, and you are helping to make up what has still to be undergone by Christ. So I honor, first of all, your pain, the pain of your cross, but I want to tell you that it is redemptive. It is drawing you closer to Jesus, unlike anything else can. You talked about, you know, being grateful for our crosses. For my leukemia, I've said this before, and it's very difficult for me to say on a human level, but I can say honestly, I'm grateful for my leukemia. I wouldn't have it any other way because I realize I can see some dim glimpse looking back of how there was so much fruit that God brought out of that to draw me closer to him and to make me more effective here sharing his love with others. So you feel free to interrupt me at any time, but...
Great, brother. You're great. I mean, this is such a powerful message. That's why I wanted you on the show, because you can say this better than I can. You've lived this, and you're still dealing with the after effects. Now, we only have about 2 minutes left before we're up against a hard break, but Jim, but thank you. Somebody needed to hear this today. Somebody out there is hopeless.
Yes.
You're living proof that God can do the impossible, that he can heal people of incurable diseases.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we have to start with the fact that God loves you as an individual infinitely. Yes, he loves everyone collectively, but he loves you. He thinks of you. So we have to first, as John says in 1 John, we have to first come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. So don't think that God has left you. He is with you. He's with you on your cross. And your Heavenly Father, in one of the Psalms, Psalm 116, we're told not to despair. Death's cords might be tightening around you, you feel. And you feel distress and anguish gripping you. Well, yes, that's part of the human condition, but God tells us through the Psalm, invoke your Father. Invoke your Lord Jesus and say, cry out, Jesus, rescue me. Gary, I've been there. I prayed this prayer.
I
want to tell your listeners individually, your God is righteous. He is merciful. He is tender-hearted. And when you are brought to your knees that's when he's going to save you. He saved, in Psalm 116, he saved me when I was brought to my knees. Return to your resting place, my soul. Yahweh has treated you kindly. So, you know, the fact is, you know, somehow we have to be brought to our knees. That's how God can reach us. And he has many ways of doing that. And everything that happens, as you were saying at the beginning, Gary, it's all out of love for you.
That's right.
Infinite love.
That's right. And that's the message of the gospel.
Yeah. God's in command.
That's what Jesus said today.
Go ahead, Gary.
No, I was just going to say, that's what Jesus said in the gospel today. It's all out of love. Your Father loves you. So if he allows it to happen, somehow it can benefit you. Brother, I hate to say it, we've got about 30 seconds left. Yeah. I need to get you back on the show. You are such a powerful witness. I strongly recommend this book, Healed Through Cancer and Other Adversities. Jim, where's the best place to get the book and to follow you online?
Yeah, you can come to our website, formingfaithfulfamilies.com, formingfaithfulfamilies.org. We also have video series and lots of books,
And we will have this linked on to our website, formingfaithfulfamilies.com. Jim Littleton, brother, thank you so much for being with us. When we come back, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Also, stay tuned for Matthew Kelly.
This is the audio from today's Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection featuring Matthew Kelly.
So let me ask you a question. Are you healthy? And when I ask the question, what do you think about? You probably think about physical health, right? Okay, how healthy am I physically? And how's my blood pressure and how's my cholesterol and these sorts of things? But are you spiritually healthy? It's interesting. I think we almost never talk about it. We talk a lot about the health of the body, you know, which, let's face it, at some point is going to be just buried in the ground and, you know, that'll be that. But the soul lives on forever. And we almost never talk about soul health. We almost never talk about spiritual health. And one of the things that, you know, Dynamic Catholic is all about, one of the things that this program is all about, it's about helping people become spiritually healthy or healthier. Do you know when you are spiritually healthy? Can you tell some days you're spiritually healthier than other days? Because that's the kind of awareness that God wants to give us. I think we can tell some days we're physically healthier than other days. God wants us to have that same sort of perspective on our soul, on our spiritual health. One of the reasons for our obsession with the physical over the spiritual is because the immediate impact that neglect of our physicality has. If you don't eat, you die in a few days. You don't breathe, you die even quicker. And so we are obsessed in some ways with the physical because there are very dire consequences to ignoring the physical realities of the human person. But we do have these spiritual realities as well, and they play out in different ways. And when we do become spiritually healthy, I think one of the things is that it distorts our personality. You know, it distorts our personality in ways that affects us from doing what God's called us to do, being the person God created us to be, and from relating with other people in healthy ways. I think sometimes we all have questions that are on our minds, questions that are in our hearts, you know. But at the end of the day, I think that a lot of life comes down to four questions. Who am I? What am I here for? What matters most? And what matters least? If you look at your day yesterday, did you spend most of your time on the things that matter most? Or did you get distracted by a million little things that don't really mean anything to anyone that significant? It happens to us all the time, and not just a day. You could go a whole week and then look back and think, wow, I didn't really do anything important this week, or I didn't really spend any time on the things that matter most this week. And worse than that, it could be a month or it could be a year. Who are you? What are you here for? What matters most? What matters least? The answers to these questions take a long time to develop. And one of the ways we develop them is through this daily habit of prayer. Yes, we're resistant to establishing this daily habit of prayer. But by establishing a daily habit of prayer, a few minutes each day, 10 minutes a day, for 25 years, I've been encouraging people to spend 10 minutes a day in prayer. By establishing this daily habit of prayer, God will very powerfully answer those four questions. He will show you who you are and what you're here for and what matters most and what matters least.
That was Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection. You can experience your best Lent ever by signing up for Dynamic Catholic's free video-based program by going to bestlentever.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Danny Gokey, I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit of the Morning. You know, that song came about because he was in a deep depression after the death of his wife. You were meant to rise when you have the Lord with you, no matter what you go through. You are meant to rise. One day, we're all going to rise again. The Lord rose from the dead. We are all called to live with the Lord forever in heaven. It's tricky to remember that sometime. Our guest, Jim Littleton, I thank him for being on the show. He reminded us of that fact. Now, this is really neat, Frank. When I plan out these Be Not Afraid Bible verses, I don't necessarily time them to go or pick them to coincide with the gospel. They're just coming from my book. This is the daily meditation for Stop Worrying and Start Living. And I certainly didn't pick this out because of having Jim Littleton on the show. But Frank, check this verse out for today. I love the way the Holy Spirit works. It's Sirach 11:14. Good and evil, life and death, poverty and riches, all are from the Lord.
So fitting.
What a great message.
It's great. It's so fitting with all the messages that we heard today. It fits into this whole entire show. You know, it doesn't matter where it comes from. You know, it still comes from the Lord, and you have to remember that. It's not easy sometimes.
No, it's not. It's not. And everything that he allows to happen to us can somehow help us. There is always hope. As Jim Littleton was just saying, don't give up hope. That doesn't mean you will be physically healed if you're suffering from a disease. Doesn't always mean that because, and I know this is hard to believe, sometimes it's not the best thing for us. Sometimes that spiritual healing is what we need. But the point is, we've got to trust. Ask the Lord to help you trust him more each day. He won't let you down. I want to share one quick thing before we go off the air. We have a few minutes. When I read the gospel, I get the gospel from the magazine, The Magnificat. And there's a little meditation in here that goes along with it. It's by Sister Ruth Burroughs today. She is a Carmelite nun living in England. She's written a number of books, but there's a statement she starts off the meditation with referring to the gospel today. Check this out. It seems there are only two things that we can give God: trust and acceptance of poverty. Two things that we can. Did you ever think about that? What can I give to the Lord? I can give him my trust. Think about that. It's such an incredible message. So whatever you're facing today, despite the fact that you might feel torn apart, you might feel like it's hopeless, that there's no way you can get through it, you can choose to say, Jesus, I trust in you. And you know what? That's a gift to him. Man, that just blows me away. Frank, thanks for joining me on the program today. We missed Dave, but it was great having you here.
Well, thanks for putting up with me, you know? Usually you lock me in the other room.
Yeah, we try. Your management, you know, because we can't keep you too close to us. Tomorrow on the show, we've got some great guests. We have Ed Lawrence, who's going to talk about his ministry, Prayers Unite the World. Great ministry. Dan Burke will be with us. Next week, we'll be joined by many people, including Kevin Vost, Danielle Bean, Jeff Blackwell. Who's Jeff Blackwell? Well, he's the voice you hear doing the Spirit in the Morning promos every day. Colleen Mast, Mike Aquilina, Lisa Hendy, Tom Peterson from Catholics Come Home, Pat Gohn. And Frank, you also lined up a special surprise guest. We'll talk more about that later.
Yeah, we should leave that one go for a little bit. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be for some people. Anyway, we've got 30 seconds.
We want to make some of them.
We've got 30 seconds. Let's close
it. Have to dance a bit.
Let's close today with the Lord's Prayer, the perfect prayer, the prayer that Jesus gave us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Thanks for another great show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Gary Zimek. Remember, today, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever happens to you, guess who's with you? The Lord's with you. Turn around and say hi. We'll talk to you next time.